Time now in our pregame show to visit with Tom Ceratori, the head coach of the Beavers. Tom, as Meatloaf once said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but it's not great either. As a 24-year head coach, how much better are you at understanding and accepting, hey, 2's better than 1, but still knowing that 2 instead of 3 can come back and bite you later?
Schulze, you just got to move on because, again, it's demoralizing if you continually just dwell on that game last night. I mean, hey, I'm no different than you. I mean, we're 39 seconds from 3 points. Then the Tech and us both have 19 points versus a 1-point swing versus a 3-point swing. And but again, you got to look at the consolation prizes that we won the shootout. We still got 2 points, and now we got to move on.
First 5 minutes of the second, you couldn't get the puck out or deep enough to get a full line change. The center and the forwards were able to come off one at a time. But I think it was Will and Mitch were out there for a long darn time. There was an icing call. Wholeheartedly thought you were taking a timeout. Did you not, because your center was fresh or because it was just too early in the period?
You know what, Schulze? Sometimes I just say the heck with it. And I'll sit on the bench and go, I'm not going to burn one right now. You better get out of it. You know, once in a while, I just say that because I just don't want to burn one. And, and then you're crossing your fingers that, nothing bad happens. But sometimes you just got to put faith in the guys out there and get out of it yourself. You put yourself into it, get out of it yourself.
Austin Jopy got the puck out on a backhanded chip, but a chip with purpose. Is that a perfect play to show a young hockey player that a chip with purpose can be a great play?
Sometimes we need to show our veterans that it's a great play. Actually, these guys all know it. They play junior hockey. Seriously, these guys, college hockey is no different than junior hockey, and they know it. So again, the guys you need to make sure that do it are the veterans who think they don't need to do it sometimes. So. But that's a wily veteran right there. He understood the situation, and I just thought it was a good out.
Adam Flamang then catches the pass and realizes he had a little more time than I think maybe he thought he would have had. So he's able to survey what's going on. What catches the eye of a coach more, the patience, the vision, or the execution of the pass?
I think all in one, because what Flammer did is he looked over his shoulder. Did a shoulder check, just like you should, just like a defenseman should when they're retrieving a dump puck. He looked over his shoulder. He saw Jackson Panzer coming, and then he obviously again got possession and just threw it in the area where he knew Jackson would be. Instincts.
Mitch Wolf's goal, tons of traffic in front of the net. You've said on a couple of occasions this year that you haven't had enough net front presence. You had 2 last night. One right at the top of the crease, 1 in between the circles right at the hash marks. How does that second guy and the guy that he's now bringing with him help make that play successful?
Well, it was nice because, again, you want those guys in a vertical spot. One in front of the net, and I think Dante was like in the hash mark. So great spots right there. They're occupying one of their men, and Chitz did a great job on the arc and took one of their guys away, and that just gave – it just gave Wolfie the ability of getting that shot through. If both guys are sitting on the crease right there, there's a good chance it never gets through. They block it. So that was well executed by those guys.
Prior to that, even, before that play gets set up, you guys have to tag up and reload. You had immediate pressure. I believe it was Jake McClain and Dante Lawson. How does that dual pressure threat help make that play 10 seconds later happen?
It's just the will to win, energy, juice. It's just all those things combined into one, Schulze. It's a tough question to answer. You just do it. And those guys, they came back. They reattacked and got possession, stayed on pucks, and they did a good job right there. And, of course, the result was even better.
More with Coach Ceratori when we return our Corner Bar pregame show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part 2 with head coach Tom Ceratori. Time to talk defensive coverage, Tom. Logan Morrell hides in plain sight twice, one of them on the power play, one of them with an extra attacker. How does the coverage need to change based on you're killing a penalty and it's 5-on-4 versus extra attacker with 6-on-5?
Well, first off, we have a little rule all the time. Check your butt. In other words, what's going on behind you? Well, it's check your butt. Craig Dahl used to say that all the time. Check your butt, check your butt, check your butt. In other words, what's going on behind you? It's so easy to get puck focused and mesmerized by the puck, but typically a lot of goals are on the backside, on the weak side. And you have to know what's going on behind you. And we talk about it all the time. You know, check your butt, check your, you know, your backside right there. And we know there's guys there, but you got to get, you got to get to the back post very quick on the penalty kill. Because, again, if the puck gets rotated to the flanker, that flanker a lot of times is going to rip pucks to the far post right there. And if we're extended on the following flanker, that's a problem. If you're on one flanker and they go flanker to flanker, you got to hustle back because, again, you know, there's just a split second where you're vulnerable. And that happened on that power play goal. And then, of course, on the 6-on-5, we haven't seen that too much. We actually almost did it against Lake Superior State where Marty went and jammed and Yuri was on the back post. It was the exact same situation for them last night, other than number 6 for them made that pass through a lot of traffic. But, no, we need to collapse on the weak side again. We were more worried about the flanker to flanker play, but if we collapse on the weak side, we're in a spot if they go flanker to flanker where we're occupying good real estate, we're probably going to block it anyway. So you just got to, again, you got to make sure on the weak side, you got to be aware of what's going on the weak side of the crease.
To the 3-on-3 situation, Jackson Junning and Issa Parekh both got pinned trying to keep the puck in the zone. It was right near your bench. In 3-on-3, is bringing that second guy in to try to keep the puck in ever not going to be dangerous if you don't come away with the puck?
No, that was just bad execution by the Beavs. We got to have more speed. We got to take outside ice. We got to try to get the back wall. If we get the back wall, then we can make a lot of plays. And we were making backhand passes. It was just we were our own worst enemy during the 3-on-3, and in that situation we were as well. Our guys were too close to each other. We got to spread it out. We got to get a drive guy. We got to make sure, again, our speed beats that guy. And you never want to get boxed in by the blue line, Schulze.
Your power play had a hard time getting the puck into the middle of the rink. It was just around the perimeter.